Well, good evening, everybody, and I'm really blessed to share the word tonight with everyone. And, you know, it's amazing, even in Jan's prayer and some of the manifestations, what I'm going to hit on tonight fits right in there. And I want to start in a very common place, or a familiar place for most of us, and that's Proverbs chapter 3. So if you turn to Proverbs chapter 3, you know, God really is big enough. He's big enough to handle anything in our lives. And as long as we walk with Him and listen to Him and allow Him to direct our path, then those things are not too big for us. Even though sometimes they may seem overwhelming and they may seem a little scary, that's just a lie from the adversary. But in Proverbs chapter 3, let's start in verse 5, that word trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And your heart is that inner part of you where you make decisions. And lean not on your own understanding. We're not to look at our understanding of the situation. We are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. You know, God tells us in His Word that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So it honestly makes this verse kind of stand out to me, because He asks us to trust in Him, to allow Him to direct our paths. Because when He created man, He created man with a freedom of will. And we all know that. So He cannot direct our path without our cooperation, without our heart being locked in His heart. And this word trust is a really cool word. It's a form of belief in the reliability, truth, and strength of someone or something. We trust God because we know God. You can't trust somebody that you don't know. Relationships have to be built on trust. And that means we have to spend time in God's Word, getting to know God, in prayer with God, just sitting with God and listening to God. All of that is tied up in trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Let's look at Psalm 28. We know that when we trust in Him, God is always there. God is always stronger than us. We know this in the depths of our heart. Just think about what He said in the manifestations. He said it a couple of times. He is always with us. He is always present. And He will never leave us or forsake us. In Psalm 27:8, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart, Vicky's heart, your heart, trusteth in Him. And I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, I will praise Him." God encourages us to trust Him. He really, it's in His Word all over the place, you guys. I didn't count how many times that word is used, but it is a lot. So definitely spend some time looking at other areas in the Scriptures than just this tonight. Go to Psalm 46. When we continue to trust God and we allow God to direct our paths, we are stronger, we are greater, and we need His direction in our lives. God says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still," that's be quiet, "and know that I am God." Some of the most healing times I know from my heart personally is when I just sit and wait for God to talk to me, for God to touch my heart, whatever that is needed in that moment. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And God is encouraging us, and He's telling us that He is going to be exalted. And that word exalted is one who is held or placed at a powerful place and is held in high esteem and high regards. That is how God is looked at. And we should look at God that way from our hearts. He knows He will be exalted among the nations. And He knows He will be exalted in the earth. And when Christ comes back, a lot of that stuff is going to start happening, and it is going to be, without a doubt, any person that is still alive and all of us who've been gathered together will know that God is the creator, and there is nothing greater or higher than he is. And this is the God who's asking us to trust him and let him direct our paths. I want to turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And these are New King James Version. It's what I'm using tonight unless otherwise stated. So Isaiah 41:10. Listen to this. Fear not. We don't need to be afraid, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is God talking to us. This is God reassuring us. I know this is Old Testament I'm reading from right now, but the Old Testament is also there for our learning. And God wants us to trust him. He doesn't want us to be afraid of anything. And we find that fear not commandment, or that fear not instruction to us, throughout the Word of God. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is God's heart for us. And he will strengthen us when we allow him. He will help us in every situation. These are not just a few verses of haphazard words, you guys. This is God's revealed written word to us. This should really encourage us. And it should really direct us to trust him and let him direct our path. Look at 2 Samuel 22. Now, there's just so much in God's word that we could sit all day and read and listen to and never hit the high mark of what he's still left in there, I tell you. He's amazing. And to have protected his word through these years so that we still can find the truth of the word in the copies of the Bible we have is phenomenal that God has been able to do that. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31, we're going to start there. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. Why would we not want him to direct our path? When we see how the greatness of our God and our Father and his willingness to impart unto us spiritual understanding and knowledge, why would we want to lean to our own understanding? God knows what we need, and he knows how to take care of us a lot better than we do. Look at 1 Samuel. You know, that was the thing back in the garden that God wanted Adam and Eve to do, was to trust him and to listen to his words. And we all know what happened, but God has already fixed that by sending his son Jesus Christ. But the whole idea is he can direct our paths much greater than we can. But we just have to listen to him. And another key thing here that we have to do is obey what he tells us to do. I want to go to 1 Samuel 15. We're going to go to verse 22. And I pick this, and I'm going to read this, and then we'll talk about it. So Samuel said, and Samuel's talking to Saul, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? That was the question to Saul. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And this is a situation where Saul had already been placed as the king because that's what God wanted, and God had given him specific directions about a battle he was in. And you can go to this section and read it, and he told him exactly what to do. He directed him to do certain specific things, and Saul had decided he knew better than God, and he did not do the things God told him to do. He did what he thought was the right thing to do, and then God sent Samuel to confront him. And when Saul turned away from God and didn't do what God told him to do, he disobeyed God's word, and that's what got him into trouble. The same thing that got Adam and Eve into trouble, disobedience from the one thing God asked them not to do. Sometimes we think, well, it's not that big a deal. Okay, I didn't do it right. Okay, I should have gone. I know God told me to do that. It is a big deal. Go to Romans 5. God wants to direct our path. We know when we think about it, we can't do anything close to what God could do for us. And yet, when we come to crossroads sometimes, instead of obeying what God told us to do, for whatever excuse we can make up in our minds at that time, we don't do it. And to me, I'm learning as I grow in the Word and get older and older, that's really stupid. I mean, it's just like, why did I do that? I've asked myself this. I know we've all done it. So look at Romans 5:19. For as by one man's, Adam, disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. God sent Jesus Christ to do a job, to direct his path. He had a calling. He had a purpose. He had free will. He could have disobeyed. But he did not disobey God. He allowed God to direct his path and be the Savior of mankind for all of us by being obedient to what God told him. And I thought about this when I was reading this earlier today. I have never been in the position to have to walk away from something as deeply emotionally, spiritually, and physically as what Jesus Christ did not walk away from. He was obedient even unto death. This is our Lord and Savior. This is our example. In the manifestations, he lives within us. When God said tonight, my son lives with you, and you go to my word, see who you are. Oh, my gosh, my heart just leaped in my throat because I thought, wow, that's exactly how we let God direct our path, is we allow ourselves to shine the light of Christ from our hearts instead of our own opinions or our own desire or our own feeling, or we don't want to make somebody upset. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Man, God knows what he's doing. Jesus Christ was obedient to everything. I always do my Father's will. He lives in us, you guys. It's available for us to walk that way, and it's available for us to treat each other that way. We are so blessed to be in such a wonderful, huge, amazing family of God. We all have the Spirit of Christ within us. That is how we're supposed to love each other. That's how we're supposed to talk to each other. That's how we're supposed to see each other. There's not supposed to be division. There's not supposed to be fighting over who's right and who's wrong about this person or that situation. That is how the devil causes division. And God has shown us that over and over in his word. Let's stand strong together. Let's make up our minds that we are going to be obedient to the things God tells us to do. And one of the greatest things for God in our administration is to love one another. Not fight. Not have arguments. Philippians 2. Let's go there. Philippians 2:8. And this one is not the New King James, it's just the King James Version. And being found in fashion as a man, it's talking about Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He chose to trust God in a situation that, I tell you, five senses wise, most of us would run the other way, but not him. But yet, he lives within us. So maybe the next time I'm faced with doing something God's telling me to do and I feel uncomfortable about it, or maybe I don't understand why you're telling me to do that. I mean, come on. I mean, I just don't get it. Maybe I'll just dig a little deeper in that Christ in myself. That's my goal, to push myself beyond the doubt and to allow God to direct my path and see how great and how wonderful whatever it is he wants me to do turns out to be. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is what God asks us to do. So the next time I'm faced with a decision like that, my goal, my desire, my actions are going to be to cast down that thought and bring everything, every thought I'm having in that situation, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because I want to see God direct my life. I want him to direct my path. I want people to look at me and see the Christ in me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, because that's where it starts, you guys. It starts in our thought process. And what we end up thinking on, what we end up dwelling on, is what we usually end up acting upon. And this says here, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully. Listen to that word. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. When we didn't know better, that's one thing. But we know better. God told us tonight it is his son that lives within us, and we need to understand who we are in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but man, to me that was reproof. I need to dig deeper. That really blessed me in that manifestation tonight. James chapter 1. We're going to close here in James chapter 1. Let's go to verse 22. And here's God's exhortation, man. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at this next statement. Deceiving yourselves. When we are doers of the word, we will not be deceived. When we are doers of the word, the adversary is not going to be able to trick us so quickly and so easily. And God tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, because we're just deceiving ourselves when we live that way. And only you and only I for ourselves know in our hearts when we do that. God knows, and he's just waiting for us to change our mind. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. That exhortation tonight in the word prophecy Stephen gave, for God tells us to know who we are. When we know who we are, we would not do this. We do not do this when we have our minds locked in with Christ. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. We don't need to do that. We can be who God has called us to be. We can allow that Christ in each other to shine so brightly from ourselves that we just light up the room. But he who looks unto the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all he does. Wow. That's a promise from the Word. You know, you look at the men and the women in the Bible and the examples we have to look at and learn from. When they did God's Word, what happened in their lives? Only the best. When they didn't do God's Word, it's when they got in trouble. That part hasn't changed. In Proverbs, God tells us to trust in Him and lean not to our own understandings, to let Him direct our path. That takes commitment in our heart and obedience in our heart. And when we do that and we lock in with God, there is nothing too big for us. God bless you guys. I love you.